This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Certainly no shortage of things to talk about these days, and we like to include in the mix what's going on with the county government. And Douglas County Commissioner Tom Kress on. Tom, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Thank you, Kyle, for having me.
Well, first of all, and this was kind of what started the idea of this conversation a few days ago, and we covered it in a story recently as well. A change happened in glass recycling, and the county, again, now able to accept glass recyclables. Tell us kind of more about how this all came together.
Well, you know, to really understand recycling in Douglas County, you kind of have to lay the stage and the groundwork for it. And you got to go back in time a bit to 2015, where at that time we didn't have any fees to dump garbage, and we took all kinds of recycling. But the DEQ found that we no longer had enough reserves in order to assure that we were going to have a fund there available when we finally closed that, to monitor the landfill when it was closed. So they said, you know, you had two choices. You could either take basically half our remaining reserves and put them in a fund that would be there for that, or you could come up with a financial assurance model. And that financial assurance model required that you had to deposit into a fund every year an amount that would equal to, at the end of, say, 20 years or whatever the lifespan left of the landfill would be, would have a fund there available for closure and post-closure monitoring. The other big stipulation, though, was it had the solid waste program for Douglas County had to operate in the black, no more subsidizing it with general funds. So then you fast forward to 2018, the inexpensive recycling went away with the Chinese basically dropping their recycling program. So at that point, Douglas County was looking at tremendous expenses in order to, basically get rid of glass, cardboard, plastics. And the decision was made at that time that we could no longer operate the thing in the black, the solid waste department, and take the recycling. So recycling ended at that point. Well, ever since then, we've been scrambling to try to figure out a low-cost alternative. And the first one that came, why we're still, taking in aluminum and tin and steel and batteries and stuff, we have a market for those locally that we can get rid of them. Glass was on the horizon and was kind of a difficult thing to get rid of at a low-cost rate. So our solid waste department, though, came up with a plan that we could use that. We could crush glass, make it an aggregate, and use it where we're already purchasing rock now for the landfill. For instance, we have to put aggregate at the bottom of our leachate drains to be the final leg of filtering the leachate out, and the glass works just fine for that. There's also foundational use at the landfill for building up things around the brow log and different areas that we have to actually purchase rock for, and the glass would work for that. Well, we have to run that stuff by the DEQ for any change in our operation at all, and at first they declined that, didn't think that was a very good use of it. But we appealed that and continued working on it, refined the plan, and just lately they approved our plan, so we started taking it back in at 7 of the transfer stations, and we'll be taking it at all the transfer stations.
It's been an interesting evolution in the last few years. It seemed like there'd been a lot of education going into people recycling, and then, way back along the way, it went from you had your trash can, and then you had your, at least in Roseburg, your blue bin for recycling. Some places even have multiple bins, depending on what you're recycling. And it seemed like we just got everybody trained into recycling, and then suddenly we were putting it back in the trash can, and a lot of people just didn't feel right about that, and I imagine that you're getting some good response to be able to for folks to be able to bring glass back in.
Yeah, it's certainly been a welcome change for people, because you're right. You get people trained. People don't want to put that stuff in the landfill. And of course, the county really didn't want to put it in there either, because it adds to the volume of the landfill, which shortens its life and, you know, the problems that have to do with that. The problem is recycling has really never been free. And so you got to figure out a, you know, a basic market for it. What do you do with it? You don't want to, you know, sell it to or basically pay somebody to take it here and then find out later that that's because of, you know, a different landfill being able to take it, that they're actually depositing it there in somebody else's landfill. You didn't want that as well. So we've looked at, like, you know, plastic, for instance, which is one of them that we're working on. There's a market for it, you know, in Washington State, and we can sell it to folks there. But we've got to truck it there, and that's a pretty big expense. And we're working on how we can do that with, you know, some of the local trucking outfits to get it to where it's more competitive, and then it's not quite as big a cost hit.
So it sounds like a lot went into this. How many different staff have been working on this idea along the way?
Well, there's been a couple county commissioners, I can tell you, and probably six or seven of the solid waste department staff, you know, under the Public Works Department Director Scott Adams's tutelage. You know, our solid waste manager, Gabe Forrester, has really put kind of the engineering part to these, you know, the recycling, to try to really figure out answers. We were tasked a year ago with, told him, you know, that this has got to be solved, and he's come up with some, you know, very innovative solutions, like the glass. We're really close to being able to do cardboard again, and I'd love to be able to tell you that was in place now, but we're not quite there.
Wow. Well, it's certainly going to be an evolution. Be interesting to see how that evolves. There's a lot of other things going on that I know you're involved in as well. Some public works projects happening this year, a couple of them tied into the Safe Routes to School initiative.
Yeah, the Safe Routes to School program, which is administered by ODOT for the state, is a competitive grant program where you can, a county like us or a road authority can actually apply for a grant. And it's a pretty good matrix of applications where, you know, they basically score them on award points, and on a certain level, if you score high enough, you might get a significant grant to basically take your route that's in front of a school or a route to a school and upgrade that to a much better situation. And, you know, and it's a basic, last 2 years, it's been a $10 million statewide program. And, you know, we got one last year with Carnes Road, and we just got another one this year. We were awarded down in Canyonville. Those are $2 million grants from that. So, you know, we're scoring very well in our application process.
So what will folks see in those areas this year?
Yeah, so Carnes Road, for instance, that the actual work on that began in November, and what you'll see is you'll see dedicated bike lanes, much better sidewalks where maybe there wasn't any sidewalks before. You'll have upgraded sewer systems, and, you know, of course, the whole infrastructure, we take a chance to upgrade that while we're in there. There's no sense doing it and then having to tear it back up. You'll have the flashing lights near the school. So on Carnes Road, it'll be from Highway 42 all the way out there to Happy Valley, I believe it is. And that whole thing will be repaved, widened, turning lanes, bike lanes, and sidewalks. Then Canyonville, that one will start 2023, approximately, end in 2024 to 2025. And it's going to go from First Street all the way out to Gasly Road. And basically the same thing. It just provides a much safer route for children to either walk or ride their bikes to school.
Well, I know, talking to some folks in Green, and I'm not as familiar with the Canyonville project area, but for parents in Green, there have been people who said, well, I take my kid to school because I really don't want them walking. But if it was safe, I'd rather have them walking and get the exercise.
Yeah, and that's part of why they introduced this program. This obviously was noted throughout the state as having a need We've been aggressively going after them. And again, it's part of an application program. The Blue Zones folks helped us with the applications. And then when the project's done, you've got a community that's got a showpiece of a road in front of it that has a very safe environment, or a much safer environment, for kids to get to school.
All right, going to take a break on Inside Douglas County, talk about some other projects in the offing. County Commissioner Tom Kress with us. The interview, a podcast after one at 541radio.com. Back in a minute for more of Inside Douglas County and News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247. Lars Larson coming up at 1. True Wealth Radio later today, part of KQEN Local Talk at 4. County Commissioner Tom Kress on with us now, talking about things going on with county government. Infrastructure is a big topic right now, really has been for several years. It seems like so much of our county, state, even national infrastructure is 50, 60 years old and wearing out. We've talked a lot with Congressman Peter DeFazio about this. Of course, he's got the role of being chair of the House Transportation and Infrastructure Committee and involved in some of these efforts for the 4th Congressional District. But, of course, Douglas County, a part of that, and I guess a number of things going on this year.
Yeah, absolutely. Douglas County has approximately, I think it's 301 of those bridges that you mentioned, and a lot of them have got at least 50 years life on them, more like 75 is the average. And their lifespan was, they were built to live about 50 years, so we've got to get aggressively at either repairing them or replacing them. So we took a pretty aggressive swing at it this year. We've got three bridges, smaller bridges that we're working on that were local. They call them ODOT local programs, where it's a 10% county match, and ODOT provides the rest of it. We have the Soup Creek Bridge, which is up Loon Lake Road. We have Dancer Road Bridge, which is upper Camas Valley, and we have Berry Creek, which is out in Olalla. These are, smaller bridges that we could tackle kind of in-house administering those. We'll probably have all three of those done, either two of the first two we'll have done this summer. The third one we'll have done by next November. And then, honestly, to get what you talked to and Congressman DeFazio stuff, we were awarded a rather large grant to do two big bridges. One is the Concord Bridge out in Garden Valley, and the other one is the Oakland Bridge, the old Highway 99 bridge north of Oakland. And those were the combination of those two is about a $25 million project, and Congressman DeFazio got us $6 million to replace those. The Concord Bridge, the twin bridge to that was Brown's Bridge, and a few years ago that bridge was fixed and replaced and repaired. And this one has got the same issues. It's got cracking that at some point, it's going to, it needs to be load rated or something. And before it gets to that point, we're going to replace it. And that's going to begin construction in the spring of 2022 and complete it December of 2024, I believe. The Oakland Bridge, that's a reduced one-lane bridge. Really, it's an iconic bridge. We're going to try to work that one into replace that bridge, but still retain that iconic nature. That one's going to begin spring of 2022 and we'll complete it in December of 2024 as well.
So for the Oakland Bridge, for example, then is it staying up and you're just going in and doing a lot of work, or is it coming down and you're starting over?
Yeah, that bridge is going to have to replaced but we're going to try to basically leave it, I guess for the lack of better words, have it still there, the final specs and plans of that are not complete yet.
Well, boy, a lot of work there. And obviously, in any of these projects, some impacts for drivers along the way once they get started and detours and things like that.
Yeah, you know, you look at that Concord Bridge out there and the arterial from Melrose into Garden Valley and then on into Roseburg, and it is a very, very busy roadway. And it's got the detour, of course, is through Old Melrose Road and back into Harvard. It's going to be a fairly significant impact on traffic. So, you know, we'll try to minimize that as much as we can. Have some one lane stuff going for a while, but there will be times where we're routing everybody out that way.
Well, and I, you know, over the years watching different projects, these are so complex, and especially bridges, just by their very nature, you generally can't just build a new bridge next to the old bridge because that creates a whole lot of other issues. So sometimes you have to put up with some inconvenience to make some progress.
Yes, you do. I mean, there's a couple things. There's property owners and various other things. Some of those littler bridges we talked about earlier, we did exactly what you said, though. We were able to put basically a bridge right alongside the old bridge so that it didn't impact the folks near as much as completely, you know, shutting it down.
So you're going into your third year as county commissioner now and here in 2021. For you, how's your role evolved since you took office?
Well, you know, it's been kind of has it really been that couple of years? Sure gone by fast, I'll tell you. You know, we had Snowmageddon last year, then we had COVID all this year, and then the fires. And so we've been reacting to emergencies for the last 2 years, to be honest with you. And it's hard to define that goal as your that role, but I would say that my roles kind of came into where we have specialties. You know, Commissioner Freeman was before considerably involved in the pursuit of the timber issues. And now with COVID, you know, he's our delegated health authority. So that takes up all his time plus some. He works a lot of hours just trying to manage that whole thing. And Commissioner Boyce has really been working quite a bit on economic development, both, you know, bringing industry and business to Douglas County, but also just trying to, during the COVID, you know, pandemic, be able to try to provide as much relief as possible to impacted businesses. Well, that and he's worked a lot on that, and that kind of left some of the administrative duties of the county, which is that, like we just talked about, the public works, the IT and radio, and some of that kind of, you know, day-to-day operation has fallen on me to oversee.
And so, obviously, that keeps you very busy. For some of the things you're working on, what are some of your goals for this year?
You know, for 2021, I'd like to see. I got a few goals. You know, I've got a lot of goals, but I'll tell you some highlights. I'd like to see no reduction in general fund. In other words, that we don't operate out of general fund this year. I'd like to see a new land use designation come into the fold. So Douglas County offers a new land use to help increase the inventory of available places to build homes. I think that's vitally important for our future. I mentioned earlier, I'd like to see recycling come fully back. And I'd like to see our solid waste department become a stable program so that, you know, we have recycling, we have the operation, and we have the fund going into the post-closure fund, and we don't have to worry about it. It's working like clockwork. And then I guess another big one is I'd like to see our, you know, the county-owned undeveloped industrial lands that we've put away over the years return back to private ownership and in a productive manner.
What about for the business community? Now, you mentioned Commissioner Boyce works a lot on that, but with your background in business, what are some of your concerns watching the business community this past year?
Well, some of the businesses, you know, have been impacted dramatically, the restaurants, the gyms, the entertainment industry, and you know, they may be back open at some capacity right now, but they clearly have either depleted all of their reserves or they're in debt. And that will have long-term impact. Even a business that has been able to maintain being open through all this, you know, you can't, when you have that big a segment of your community hurting, it's the amount of unemployment and other things will impact our economy. And so, honestly, when all the stimulus money runs out, which it's bound to, we're definitely going to have some impact on all the businesses here, and it certainly bothers me.
All right, just about out of time for now. Douglas County Commissioner Tom Kress giving us an update on some of the work he's been involved in and moving forward. Tom, thanks for being on this afternoon. 12:57 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team, News Radio 1240 KQEN.